Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Leviticus. And this is chapter 6. And we're going to ask that the Lord anoint this chapter. But before we do that, I want to read a few things of documentation of the things that the Pope has done. We have a picture of the Pope here kissing the Koran. Now, there isn't a born-again Christian in the world that would do such a thing as that. I've never seen a picture of the Pope kissing the Bible. As a matter of fact, he's the one that's behind taking the Bibles out of schools, because false religions don't want people reading the Bible, because the Bible tells everyone what is right and what is wrong. And so that's why he's kissing the Koran, because he is making statements that he and the Muslims are one and the same. And that's why they were able to prophesy that there was going to be a lot of terrorism in the world in the September, because there he's the one that planned it, and he and the Muslims and people in the one world government, even people in the our government, planned and carried that thing out. They carried out the Civil War, World War I and World War II. The Lord said that they are the mother of every abomination that's ever happened on earth. And they also carried out Waco. We have our president that toured with the Pope, and the current president, President Clinton, and now President Bush, that's going over and kissing up to the Pope and telling us all that we should do everything the Pope says. And the Pope is saying that they and Muslims are one and the same. Well, if they're one and the same, the Vatican is the one that financed the Civil War, World War I and World War II, and also are the ones that financed Pearl Harbor, that terrorism. They did the Waco massacre. They financed the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center in New York City on September 11th, 2001. And now they're telling us that there's going to be more and more terrorism. Tell me, how do they know these things if it's not them that's going to planning it and doing it? And they're saying, well, nobody knows exactly which is the next place that they're going to bomb. And yet, then how do we know that they're going to do it? We know they're going to do it because they're the ones, the Vatican, that's prophesying these things. And they're the ones that are carrying them out. Now, here are some statements from the Pope to prove that their way of thinking and the Muslim way of thinking is identical. And the reason for that is because the Vatican is the one that brought Muhammad up. There was a Catholic priest and a nun that raised Muhammad and gave him drugs every day of his life and documented all of his hallucinations and put it in a book and claimed that he is the great prophet and so on. And so all he was a drugged up white boy that was... Now, why would the Vatican bring up the Muslims and have another whole religion? Well, Alberto Rivera, who was a very big, very close person to the Pope in the Vatican, knew all the reasons why they did things. And he's the one that told me personally, after he became a born-again Christian, that, and the reason that we met each other is because I was putting out some literature on the Vatican myself. And so he said, have you ever been in the Vatican? And I said, you know better than that. He said, but it's like you know these things. And he said, the reason that the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church, raised up the Muslims is because the Vatican never wants anybody to know that they're doing the terrorism in the world and that they're doing the planning of the war and everything. So they wanted the Muslim religion to be blamed for being the ones. But the Vatican has all the money. They own all the beer companies, and they don't pay taxes, all the liquor companies, and they run the World Bank, and they run the government. And all the government funds that's coming in to them is used to do their terrorist attacks. And they're immune from income tax in the United States and in all other nations. And so the Vatican wants to have a lily-white look. For instance, the Pope says he's against war, and he's the very one that causes the war. He's the one that plans it and gives the instructions to the Muslims or to the Germans. They financed, the Vatican banks financed World War II. They financed Hitler. And that's common knowledge nowadays. But it, just to prove that, and they're causing all the trouble in Israel with the Jews. And the Muslims, the Arabs, they're all Muslims, are the ones that are terrorizing the Jews every day. Amen?
Amen.
And the common, one of the things the Pope says that they have in common is that they both hate Jews. Now, where else could this be coming from? Here it's Muslims. Muslims don't have any money, but the Vatican banks do, and the Vatican does. And so they're financing this whole thing over there, just as they gave a tremendous amount of money to Hitler to become a major power in the world. And it wasn't because they were divinely ordained or anything. It was because they were sponsored by Satan, and the Lord allowed them to grow up because people's sins are so evil, and they fail to read the Bible to know that this Rome and the Roman Empire and the Pope are the evil ones because they never read their Bibles. And so people are just deliberately ignorant. But here are some statements that are from the Pope himself. So go ahead and read this first part here.
There are so many similarities between the religion of Mohammed and the Vatican that we can only name a few for now. Quote, both religions...
Quote, now this is a quote from the Pope.
Both religions believe in using force to spread their version of the one true God to the unbelievers.
Okay, so what they mean is brute force. Okay, if they can't get America or some other country to go to war, they do a 9-1-1 or a Pearl Harbor. They blow something up to get the American people ticked off, and then they point that it's Iran that's doing it, and that it's the Muslims. Well, why would they do that if they're partners? Because the Vatican doesn't want people to know it's them. That's why they raise them up, because they want dummies to do their dirty work for them and to take the blame of all the things that they are doing. And they know the Pope has enough money to destroy them if they don't take a few hits. And they say, well, we just are doing that for democracy's sake. That's what the news media tells you. But really what it's for is that the Pope wants to rule the world. Roman Catholic cult, and they raised Mohammed. It's like their little boy that has grown up now and has taken over. And you can find this documentation in one of Alberto Rivera's books, and it's published by Jack Chick Publishing Company, Chick Publishing. It's called The Prophet. All this is in that book, all right? And so it's Mohammed and the Pope that's causing all that dissension. We have pictures of... He plays, the Pope burns both ends of the candle. He's friends with the Arabs, and yet he's putting the blame on them. He's friends, he says, with the United States, but he's like making us hated by all the people of the world because he's using us as his disciplinarian, like we're going in and bombing the different places for him so that he can set his leader inside these different countries to have what he calls, quote, democracy, that everybody is equal. If everyone is equal, then why does he want to bomb all these people? He also states that he hates homosexuality. But he himself is a homosexual and a child molester. Now, they're coming down on Michael Jackson. I'm not saying that I like Michael Jackson at all, because if he's a homosexual, and he probably is, and he should be punished, but what about all these homosexual priests? Whatever happened to all that? If he doesn't run the government, then how are they getting off the hook with this? Why are they not being prosecuted as they are Michael Q. Jackson? Amen?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any kind of sense unless you look at it from the real truth of the matter, that the Roman Catholic cult is a cult of homosexuals, and it's like the sewer of corruption that Martin Luther said it was when he went to visit the Vatican. I'm not talking about Martin Luther King. I'm talking about Martin Luther, the one that founded the Lutheran Church, a German, not a black, who went there to visit it because he was so gung-ho on Catholicism, and he went there and saw the corruption of the Pope. He said that there were a little boy, little young boys and little young girls nude walking around with trays serving him hand and foot and the cardinals, and it made him vomit, and he had to leave, and stated that it was not just a sewer of corruption, but that it was a bottomless sewer of corruption. They were on drugs. They've got 5 nightclubs in the Vatican. I mean, this is well documented. And they are host to all the presidents, the kings, and the queens, and all the different countries, because they know, these different presidents and kings say that they can't get anywhere in the world. They can't have any power, and they can't have any money, because they'll literally destroy a person and take, like they did the people at Waco, because they're for Mohammedism. They worship with witches, because I've seen pictures of the Pope in the United Council of Churches, which he heads, is like Merlins, people into black magic, Hare Krishnas, you name it, they're all there. And Muslims, everyone but true, but born-again Christians. Now, this man is not a born-again Christian, or he wouldn't be worshiping witches, and wouldn't be a witch himself, or a homosexual, or a child molester, would he? Of course not. Okay, now let's hear some more statements by him. He believes in brute force, he says. Brute force to put everybody, to cause everyone to believe the way that the devil does. He and Mohammedism do. Mohammedism says kill every white man. And that means that and every Christian and every Jew. And that's what the doctrine of Catholicism is. How preposterous it is for him to call himself a Christian, kissing the Quran. Then go ahead, what's the next statement?
Quote, both religions believe in a union with the state or of using the police powers of the state to compel obedience to their tenets.
The state means to their same ideas, it means, okay? The state means that they are believe that you have to use government brute force. And that's what the Bible says that they do, that it's a one-world government called the Beast. It's a lawless government. It's an antichrist government, one that takes the Bibles away from people, that makes it unlawful to even mention the name of God and Jesus. Now, this is your Pope. Now, if you believe that way, that's your Pope. That's your devil. Okay? His God is my devil. This Pope, his God is the devil. Okay? My God is the real, almighty, holy, eternal God. Then go ahead, another statement from him.
Quote, both religions have a, quote, holy, unquote, shrine in which the believers are taught to look to as their headquarters, Mecca and the Vatican.
Right, the Muslims look to Mecca, and they also pay homage to the Pope and the Vatican. Then what else?
Since Islam and the Vatican have so many similarities, we don't have to look very far to find their common origin, as long as we know a little about the Bible and history.
Right, because their origin is from hell. Those two false religions have been hatched in hell. Okay? And this is just, we have like, I have, you know, I'm called to preach the gospel, and part of the gospel is unveiling the wicked ones so that people know to stay out of that cult and to not listen to the media and to listen to these false religions, but to cling only to the Lord, to just be born again of the Spirit and follow the tenets of the Lord. Amen? His word. And that's it. So people will say, well, you're going to really get it for exposing the devil, because they're afraid of the devil. But the Lord says, fear not him that can kill your body, but fear him who can kill you the body and also send your soul to hell. The whole duty of man is not at all to fear the devil, because God said if you fear him, then he'll fight for you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe that, shame on you, because I've seen many people that didn't believe that. I've been doing this for over 40 years. About close to 40 years, rather. And maybe it is over 40 years now. But I've never been killed, okay? And they've been threatening to do it all these years, and I'm still alive and kicking. Amen?
Amen.
And now there's millions of people that are knowing these things and are preaching against the Vatican and for the Lord and against Mohammedism. The trouble that is in the Middle East is caused by the Pope and Islam. Now, if we just eliminate the Pope, if God would just bind him on earth, if we bind him on earth by exposing him, God is going to bind him in heaven. Now, these people are a bunch of gutter rats, termites, sewer rats. And we're not to be afraid of a sewer rat, a gutter rat, or a termite. If I see termites, well, I don't just pray to the Lord. I get some termite spray. And the best spray on these termites and gutter rats and sewer rats is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen?
And to just expose them. Pull their sheets and blankets off of them so everybody can see their ringworm all over their legs and their buttocks and all over their bellies with the pus sewer coming out of their system. It's nauseating. To just, yeah, even when I look at that nauseating creature, and then to think that Bush would get the statement from Bush, President Bush, about how we should do everything the Pope says. So, and then he says he's a born-again Christian. My God, my God, my God, when will people stop being deceived? Do you have it there?
Yeah.
Read President Bush's statement. What magazine was this in? It was in the Catholic... The Catholic magazine, Catholic what?
The Catholic News Service.
Okay, now what did President Bush say about this reprobate?
Quote, from the beginning of his presidency, George Bush has been promoting the Jesuit Catholic agenda. 2 months into his presidency, surrounded by cardinals of Rome, the president dedicated a cultural center in Washington, D.C. to the greatest enemy this republic has ever had, the Pope of Rome. Bush declared that he is going to enforce the words and teachings of the Pope here in America. Here are his words. Quote, the best way to honor Pope John Paul II, truly one of the great men, is to take his teachings seriously, to listen to his words, and to put his words and his teachings into action here in America. Unquote.
Do you want to put his teachings into action, that we should have government exercising brute force over us so that to worship at this weasel's feet? What kind of man is this Bush? Now, they're running two Catholics for multitudes of years so that it doesn't make any difference who you vote for. They're going to be taking orders from the Pope. And we're not supposed to be, the U.S. Constitution, well, of course, the Bible says that we're not to have any king over us that is a reprobate or a devil. That we're to have a Jewish or born-again Christian as our God, or as our king, if we're going to have a king. And we're to have, really, we're not even supposed to have any human king over us. We're to have the Almighty God over us. But the Jews wanted a king, and so God made a provision. He says, no one but a Jew that honors the law, my law, that honors me. But we've got guys here that are honoring this rancid Pope, and this rancid Roman Catholic, and this rancid one that has fellowship with these Muslim terrorists. And they all state, like the Roman Catholics, before all this terrorist instead it started, and they're not prophets, they prophesied that they were going to cause terrorism all over the world, and in the America, especially in the late fall. Well, immediately I said, they're going to do it because these guys are not prophets. They are able to prophesy it because they're the ones that have planned it, and they're the ones that are going to carry out this terrorism. And people are just wondering, they got everybody wondering, where is it going to come from? Look at, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's coming from the Vatican, who is brother, I mean, they're like Siamese twins with the Muslims, okay? And then here's Bush, the prime person in the White House that says, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, maybe he was just away from the White House and away from phones, and maybe it was just that there was no fighter planes in the air and so on to guard these the World Trade Center just by accident, but he's 100% for the number one terrorist, and their twin brother, identical twin brother, the Muslims. Now, can you add two and two? Does two and two still make seven to you? Or three? Two and two makes four, Doopy. Okay? Wake up. All right, we've been undermined. We have a secret government within our government that has been undermining us for a good number of years. Even before Pearl Harbor and before FDR, who is so beloved by all the ignorant people, we've been undermined by a secret government, and that government is not the government of God. It's a foreign government, and we are surrounded by traitors. And what does the Constitution say about traitors? Isn't this country supposed to be of the people, for the people, and by the people, not by for the Pope, or by the Muslims, or by Roman Catholics, or by Bush, or any of those people that are out-and-out Nazis? But it's supposed to be of us. So bind them by exposing them. Bind the devil by exposing them. And then God will bind them in heaven. We have to bind them on earth here by exposing. He says, whatsoever you, he's pointing to us, bind on earth, I will also give them a swift kick from heaven. Amen? Amen. I'll bind them in heaven. Praise the Lord. We have the Lord on our side. Trust him and fear what he has to say, because if you do what he says, you can be absolutely sure that he'll do what he says. Okay? Now, Father God, we ask that you bless this chapter 6 in Leviticus into the hearts and the souls of everyone. This is your law. And if we keep your law, we can expose the devil on earth. That's the only way we resist him. We're not going to resist the devil and say, the blood of Jesus is against you, the blood of Jesus is against you. Yes, the blood of Jesus on our soul is against him. And we can say that, but we also must expose him so that the people in the world will know who the devil is. How can we know how to defeat the devil? How can we know to pray to God to bind the devil if we don't know who the devil is? Amen?
Amen.
Now, I've told you for years who the devil is, and it keeps coming up. All this last few weeks, you see President Bush sitting with the Pope and laughing and joking and jiving with the cardinals and with the Pope himself. And they're laughing at everybody because everybody's believing them. They're pointing at another country and calling everybody Hitler and evil, but themselves. Everything they do is deceptive. The Pope himself is noted for being an actor, and he has a lot of fun because he's acting the part of God. And like we're a bunch of naive people in an audience, and he thinks that we don't know what he's up to. But we do know, because we read the Bible and we see what he's doing. And he says it with his own words. I'm not telling you anything that he doesn't say himself. He says we are identical to the Muslims. We both hate Jews. We both hate Christianity. We believe in world a government forced to force people to believe as the devil does. Jesus never said that he wants a secular government to enforce our salvation on people. We're to be like doves. We're supposed to be, what? Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Amen?
Yeah.
We're to pray for people, and to, if there's a cult like them, we're to preach the gospel to them. I'm not saying to go kill them, God forbid. God, you'd really be in trouble with the Lord if you did something like that, but the way that they are destroyed is to expose them, because their media is making up lies about us and other Christians, and they've got so bold now that they went in and killed a bunch of Seventh-day Adventists over at Waco. They burn their little children and their and the mothers and dads. And so if you don't care anything about this, if you don't care to know who the devil is, and you just figure it doesn't really matter because Jesus is doing everything, the Lord commands us to bind the devil on earth and that pray to him that he binds them in heaven. And he will. And he said, if you believe on the word of God, you shall be saved. You'll say, no, that isn't what it says. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. Now, the word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, and thou shalt be. If you don't believe the word of God, thou shalt not be saved. Amen?
Amen.
He says, because if you don't believe the word of God, those that believe not, those that doubt, shall be damned. Jesus said, preach to all the people in the world, and those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. Well, anyway, Lord bless every word that proceeds from your mouth, because this is how we have life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we're not to serve or to be one with any other religion of all the religions in the world like the media is telling us that we should do. I just saw Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife, who is part of the Vatican, say that we're just so happy to be worshiping with all other religions. The Lord forbids it. He says that we are to set ourselves separate from all other religions. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And it says, anyone that tries to get into heaven any other way than he who said he is the way, the truth, and the life, the Bible says they're like thieves and robbers, and that's what the devil is. He's a thief, a robber, a murderer. And how many times, how many people does the Vatican have to burn up at the stake in years before, or burn up in their houses like they did the people in Waco? For you people in the world, the listeners of these tapes who wise up, now play this tape for everybody. Play it. Expose the devil. And then pray to God to bind these devils on earth so that he will bind them in the kingdom of heaven. God's going to swat 1/3 of the world population, D-E-A-D, dead at one, just one swat. And he's going to burn the whole world up and these people if they don't repent. Now, God has given them space to repent, but they haven't repented. So the Lord depends on us. He is the head, and we are his body doing his work here on earth, but it's him in us doing it. Now, we can't do his work if we're not going to do listen to his word and do what it says. He says, bind the devil, resist him. How do you resist him? By swatting at the air? Paul says, I don't beat at the air. I expose the devil by preaching the word. Amen?
Amen.
And exposing where he's at and what he's doing, what he's up to. And Paul said, I did it. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. And therefore, there's a crown laid up for me. I'm being crowned with eternal life. I have it. I continue on to the end. I've finished the race. I continued to the end. You people start throwing in the towel now. This revival that you see today is a disguise, another disguise of Satan. It's primarily all Catholic, Roman Catholic cult. It's actually the great falling away, the falling away. It's the Antichrist, the lawless one, the man of perdition, the false prophet. Antichrist. Now, Father, bless the rest of these words in this chapter to us, chapter 6 in Leviticus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
Leviticus chapter 6, sins requiring a guilt offering. King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein,
Then it shall be, because he hath sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth, in the day of his trespass offering.
Now, in the New Testament, the Lord accelerates the penalty. No liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. No thief shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And once you've been saved, you don't do these things, because if you do, there remains no more forgiveness for you. All right, so let's go into the translation here.
Translation, verse 1 through 5. Sins requiring a guilt offering. And the Lord said to Moses, suppose some of the people sin against the Lord by falsely telling their neighbor that an item entrusted to their safekeeping has been lost or stolen. Or suppose they have been dishonest with regard to a security deposit, or they have taken something by theft or extortion. Or suppose they find a lost item and lie about it, or they deny something while under oath, or they commit any other similar sin. If they have sinned in any of these ways and are guilty, they must give back whatever they have taken by either theft or extortion, whether a security deposit or property entrusted to them, or a lost object that they claim as their own, or anything gained by swearing falsely. When they realize their guilt, they must restore the principal amount plus a penalty of 20% to the person they have harmed.
All right, that's Old Testament. Then you have to do an offering, and that offering is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to the world and gave himself as an offering. And so he washes from those kind of sins and all other kind of sin of the past, and now he wants us to go and sin no more, take up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow him to do the things that he did, and no other way. We're new creatures. We've been cleansed. We're not the same as we were before. We're now members of the body of Christ, and there's no way that we can sin and call ourselves born-again Christians, because a true Christian is not going to sin. They have the power of God in them to not sin. And we know that there's no more sacrifice for us, so it would be committing spiritual suicide to do such a thing. So go ahead.
King James Version, verse 6. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock.
See, this is symbolic of Christ, but you could do that once a year in the Old Testament. Now it's all over just once with Christ. Okay, you have to be holy and perfect. Go ahead.
A ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest.
Okay.
And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord.
See, this is symbolic of Jesus, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, the mediator, the only mediator between God and man, who goes before God for us, with us in prayer, and gets forgiveness for us, only if it's a sin, after we've been washed in the blood, only if it's a sin of ignorance. Okay, then what?
And it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein.
In other words, purse snatchers can't snatch purses anymore. People that are fornicators and adulterers can't commit adultery and fornication anymore. People that are thieves and liars can't be thieves and liars anymore. They have to fess up and get that sin off their soul. And if they don't, there's too much pride there for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the humble, those that have humility, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Those that have broken their evil spirits or lying dog spirits and they're lesbian and homosexual spirits. They're corrupt spirits. They're no longer corrupt, but the pure, sweet spirit of the Lord is dwelling in them and mortifying their flesh, and they're mortifying their lying tongue and their cowardice, because so many people are afraid because they figure government is so big, as if God isn't bigger. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you think God is bigger than this stinking government here, or all the governments in the world?
Amen.
He turned the number one government in the world upside down in the book of Exodus. Amen?
Amen?
He destroyed them. And he's going to destroy he's destroyed every government so far, and he'll destroy Rome and Mohammedism and all the other isms in the world, all false religions, and all these corrupt governments are going to burn. God is bigger. That's an understatement of the year. He's bigger. Well, he's so big that the government, this world government, looks like a little, it's not even a fraction of a pimple in comparison. All right? It's like a speck of dust. Can God defeat a speck of dust? Come on, idiots. People that don't believe that, you idiot. Okay, then what?
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning.
See, these people of the world think, you're so evil, Tony. You talk so down to people and everything. What do you think, the government isn't evil? That's killing, murdering people? Have I murdered anybody? Not one. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so if I call an ace and a spade, don't be thinking that I'm evil. Because if you think so, then you're the evil one for thinking such an evil thing. The Bible, Jesus said, we're to hate evil. And if you don't, if you think that I'm supposed to be nice to these evil people, then you're as evil as the stinking Pope. All right? You say, I'm not polite to him. Well, you bow down and kiss his feet, but not me, okay? That'll never happen. Or suck on his ring. Okay, you corrupt, evil person, you. You're afraid of him. I'm not. I fear God. All right? And I keep his commandments. You're not. You just want to be kind to everybody, you sickening, whimpering, simpering. And if that's the way you believe that God is weaker than the government, you're a fool. The Bible says so. I don't. I believe what the Bible says, so I say so too. Okay? But I didn't originate that saying. God did. The person that doesn't believe that God is almighty and all power belongs to him is a fool. A corrupt, evil, wicked fool. Okay, what else?
It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed, with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar.
See, if we're like the burnt sacrifice, in other words, if we've given ourselves totally unto the Lord, there's no fear of Satan or world governments or anything like that. Thus, we are to keep the rules of government so long as they do not supersede or overthrow the things that the Lord has told us to do. Amen?
Amen.
But if they say we're not supposed to say the word Jesus or God, they can go to hell. Amen? Because that's where they're going anyway. All right, then what?
And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out.
All right, the fire in the altar means that once you get saved, there's this fire, this love of the Lord, this excitement, this desire to do everything that he says for us to do. That fire is to never go out. If that fire is not burning in you, then you've let the Holy Spirit go out in you. And that's the same thing as the parable of these 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 kept the fire going, the Holy Spirit running through them at all times, and the other 5 let their lamps go out. And this is what this is symbolic of right here. Don't you ever let your zeal or the fire of the Lord, the Spirit of God, ever depart from you. Because if you do, you're condemned. You're gone. You might as well just forget about it. Because if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is not in you, then you will not raise from the dead on the last days to enter heaven, but the Spirit of God will cast you down into hell, then the lake of fire. And there's no other word to contradict anything that I'm saying. Okay, go ahead.
And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it.
That means every day you're supposed to lay yourself on the altar, just say, ask the Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? I do that. I say, Lord, do you want me to pray now, or do you want me to go out and do the message? Do you want me to ride the bike now, the stationary bike? Do you want? Is there anything on the news that you want me to see so I can counter it? Do you want me to start writing now, or do you want me to go out and do corrections on the literature that I've written? Do you want me to have certain people to go and to the recreational area to work out now? Do you want the brothers to go, or do you want the sisters to go? I'm asking all these questions before I get going in the morning. Do you want me to eat now or later? Do you want me to... I haven't eaten for 11 and a half hours. Should I wait? Because if I start... You want me to write now. Okay. So maybe if I write now... No, you want me to do some messages first. Okay, so I do the messages. Mm-hmm. Now what do you want me to do? You want me to do right or do the stationary bike? I want you to eat something. So I go and eat something. Now what do you want me to do? The stationary bike for a half hour, 45 minutes. Do 10 or 12 miles, 18 miles on the bike. Okay, because he wants me to keep my health up. And he wants you to do that too. Now what, Lord? Okay, well, I want you to... Right. Well, I did a recording, and one of the sisters came and told me that it didn't. The one I did before didn't record. So I had to do chapter 24 and chapter 25. And so I did that. Now, do you want me to go work out? Lord, I haven't worked out yet. No, I want you to do a message on the tape. And then we'll go from there. All right, so let's do the message on the tape, and that's what I'm doing right now. These are the events that happened and many other things that I asked the Lord before I got to where I am right now. And so that means that we're supposed to be ashes. I'm not supposed to just come out and say, well, I'm hungry, I'm going to go get something to eat. Or I feel like I've got plenty of energy right now, so I'm going to go exercise. No, I don't do things like that. I want to be a heap of ashes to just let God lead me and direct me in all the things, because I talk to the Lord because I know that He talks to me. He gives me direction. And it all works out better that way. Lord, do you want me to look at all these things the Pope is saying? Look at all the things he's doing. Lord, do you want me to write these things or expose these things to the government? Yes. Because if you don't, they're ready to destroy everybody, not only you, but everybody. Get these things out into the world so that people can know where their destruction is coming from. And if they don't do something about it, if they don't expose it, I'm going to let, they'll be destroyed by the devil, and I'll let them destroy them. All right, Lord, here goes. And some of the things I put out, I thought, God, Lord, I mean, if this isn't you, we could be destroyed. He says, no, you'll be destroyed if you don't put it out. So I did. And it isn't so much that there's people say, boy, you've got a lot of guts. You've got a lot of guts. And I says, no, I don't. I said, I fear and tremble at the word of the Lord when he tells me to do so. I have no guts like you do to disobey him. I said, you are the one that's got no brains, but you've got a lot of guts. I fear God. I have no guts when it comes to him whatsoever. But I don't fear Satan because Satan might kill my body, but he cannot kill my body and destroy my soul like the Lord can. So as long as I know that I'm doing the thing that the Lord wants me to do, I feel absolutely secure in the Lord, because then I don't care what happens to me. And it so happens that the past 40 years, almost, God has delivered me. Can't you hear me? I'm still alive, okay? I'm here. And you'll be here too if you're like me, okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, let's keep going.
And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar.
See, the fire's got to be burning in your heart all the time. You can't be let the devil frighten you or back you down. If you do, you can hide from the the devil can't. If God can swap the devil, but where are you gonna hide from the Lord? Amen. I'd rather have all the devils in the world mad at me than the Lord to be mad at me, because God can raise up a standard to destroy them all that have to have when they're after me. But where am I going to hide from God? You can't run inside the house. Amen? What are you going to do, crawl under the bed? You'll find that the Lord's laying right in there with you and say, "Hi, I'm right here." Okay? And then what are you going to do when he pinches your nose and your lips so that no air can come in or out? You can't fool with God. Wise up. Receive God and live. Okay? Then what?
The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out.
Never go out. Amen.
Amen.
Because if it does, you're going to be like the five foolish virgins. You're going to say, you'll be yelling out, "Please give me some of the Spirit." When the Lord cometh, he's at the door. And they say, "Oh no, you're foolish. I'm not going to give you some of the Spirit that I have. The Lord's coming. I'm going with him right now. And you're going to be left behind. And you're going to hell." Don't let that fire go out. Okay, then what else?
Translation, verse 6 through 13. They must then bring a guilt offering to the priest, who will present it before the Lord. This offering must be a ram with no physical defects, or the animal's equivalent value in silver.
Right, because, see, that's symbolic of the Lord. This animal without sin. I just keep reiterating it because that's the way of life. It's the reproof of the word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The priest will then make atonement for them before the Lord, and they will be forgiven.
Right, the priest was symbolic of Jesus, and he's our priest right now, our high priest, and we're a nation of priests, so we take everything to him. If it's a sin of ignorance, and he'll take it before the Lord with us, the Father, and of course they're all one. But this is the structure that the Lord has given us to go by, and so we just go by it, okay? All right? Don't try to figure out any other method. There's only one way, and it's the Lord's way. Then what?
Further instructions for the burnt offering. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons the following instructions regarding the whole burnt offering. The burnt offering must be left on the altar until the next morning, and the altar fire must be kept burning all night." The next morning...
Yeah, all night. I might have been born yesterday, but I stayed up all night. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The next morning, after dressing in his special linen clothing and undergarments, the priest on duty must clean out the ashes of the burnt offering and put them beside the altar. Then he must change back into his normal clothing and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out.
Oh, keep the fire burning. Keep stoking that fire, amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. And you don't want that kind of trouble, amen? There's no trouble like having trouble with the Lord. Okay, then what?
Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the daily whole burnt offering on it. He must burn the fat of the peace offerings on top of this daily whole burn offering. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times.
The Lord keeps reminding us, keep the fire burning. Keep that spirit rolling through you. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
It must never go out.
Right, because if it does, then you're going to be back in your flesh again. You have no power over sin. The spirit is what kills the sin in your body and kills your desire to sin. The spirit mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 14. And this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering, and of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering, and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat. With unleavened bread shall it be eaten in the holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of the congregation they shall eat it. Translation, verse 14 through 16. Further instructions for the grain offering. These are the instructions regarding the grain offering. Aaron's sons must present this offering to the Lord in front of the altar. The priest on duty will take a handful of the choice flour that has been mixed with olive oil.
Flour, again, is the bread of life, which is the word of God, which has got the Spirit of God in it, and the olive oil is symbolic of the Spirit within the Word of God, the bread of life. Makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, that's just common knowledge, amen? We don't have to be stupid all the time, amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The priest on duty will take a handful of the choice flour that has been mixed with olive oil and sprinkled with incense. He will burn this token portion on the altar, and it will be very pleasing to the Lord. After burning this handful, the rest of the flour will belong to Aaron and his sons for their food. It must, however, be baked without yeast and eaten in a sacred place within the courtyard of the tabernacle. King James Version, verse 17. It shall not be baken with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron shall eat of it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of the Lord made by fire. Everyone that toucheth them shall be holy. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is the offering of Aaron and of his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a meat offering perpetual, half of it in the morning and half thereof at night. In a pan it shall be made with oil, and when it is baken, thou shalt bring it in. And the bacon pieces of the meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt.
All right, wholly burnt, I mean, the completely burnt means that it's symbolic of the Lord completely being dead on the cross, being buried, going to hell, being burned in hell for us, where we should have went. Then he conquered death, hell, and the grave. If we be burned like that, if we give ourselves wholly as a sacrifice to him, we're to deny ourselves also, which means to give ourselves completely to the Lord, not just part of ourselves, but to a whole offering unto the Lord. He doesn't want part of us, or even 99% of us. He wants it all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That doesn't leave anything for ourselves. But why should we want anything of ourselves when the Lord is much more than we? Amen?
Amen.
When we have the Lord, we have more than ourselves. We have billions, trillions more of of something than we do of ourselves. So why want to have anything of ourself? Self will send yourself to hell. That's why we have to be more concerned about the Lord and others than ourselves. We have to prefer others before ourselves. Now that's a real burden. Otherwise you're like the Pope, who cares about himself. He says that he's more popular than the Beatles. How would a person of God compare themselves with the Beatles? A bunch of reprobates. Amen?
Yeah.
God. I mean, this Pope, believe it or not, I have much evidence, proof, that he wants to be on the national charts in Billboard, Cashbox, and all those, Melody Maker in England. The man is so juvenile, it's unbelievable, and evil. Then what? Wants to be on the charts. Okay, what else?
Translation, verse 17 through 22. Remember, this flour may never be prepared with yeast. I have given it to the priests as their share of the offerings.
Why? Because the bread of life doesn't have any larceny or sin in it. And so that which you're going to sacrifice unto the Lord, which is yourself, can't have any larceny or sin in it. Amen?
Amen.
That is, if you want to go to heaven, it's what this is all about, is the Word of God is structured to get us into the kingdom of heaven. It structures our souls, my spirits, to be able to get into heaven. Okay, what else?
I have given it to the priests as their share of the offerings presented to me by fire. Like the sin offering and the guilt offering, it is most holy. Any of Aaron's male descendants from generation to generation may eat of the grain offering because it is their regular share of the offerings given to the Lord by fire. Anyone or anything that touches this food will become holy. Procedures for the ordination offering.
He says he touched this food. That's what the priest was ordained to do, is to give food to the Lord and to give the Lord's food to the people. Amen?
Amen.
That's why it's a sweet savor unto the Lord, because he wants it. Okay, then what?
Then the Lord said to Moses, on the day Aaron and his sons are anointed, they must bring to the Lord a grain offering of 2 quarts of choice flour, half to be offered in the morning and half to be offered in the evening. It must be cooked on a griddle with olive oil, and it must be well mixed and broken into pieces. You must present this.
Why is it broken into pieces? Because it's symbolic of our being the Lord being broken to pieces for us, and we have to be broken to pieces for him. He said, this is my body. And who is his body? We are. That is broken for you. Amen?
Amen.
For our own good. So you say, well, we don't like breaking ourselves or carrying a cross. It's for us. It's for our own good. Amen?
Amen.
So you've got all kinds of larceny in you. Get rid of it. Break yourself and be holy. Make yourself be broken, because it's for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. I'm the head, you are the body. And then what?
You must present this grain offering, and it will be very pleasing to the Lord. As the sons of the priests replace their fathers, they will be inducted into office by offering this same sacrifice on the day they are anointed. It is the Lord's regular share, and it must be completely burned up. King James Version, verse 23. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed shall the sin offering be killed. Before the Lord it is most holy. The priest that offereth it for sin shall eat it. In the holy place shall it be eaten. in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash that whereon it was sprinkled in the holy place. But the earthen vessel wherein it is sodden shall be broken. And if it be sodden in a brazen pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests shall eat thereof. It is most holy. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile withal in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. Translation, verse 23-30. All such grain offerings of the priest must be entirely burned up. None of the flour may be eaten. And no sin offering whereof any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of the congregation to reconcile withal in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burnt in the fire. Translation, verse 23-30. All such grain offerings of the priest must be entirely burned up. None of the flour may be eaten.
Right, so that's us. We must be totally burned out. Our old self has got to be burned out. We have to be walking in the Spirit, which is the symbolizing of that is the olive oil. Okay, then what?
Further instructions for the sin offering. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons these further instructions regarding the sin offering. The animal given as a sin offering is most holy and must be slaughtered in the Lord's presence at the place where the burnt offerings are slaughtered. The priest who offers the sacrifice may eat his portion in a sacred place within the courtyard of the tabernacle. Anything or anyone who touches the sacrificial meat will become holy, and if the sacrificial blood splatters anyone's clothing, it must be washed off in a sacred place. If a clay pot is used to boil the sacrificial meat, it must be broken. If a bronze kettle is used, it must be scoured and rinsed thoroughly with water. Only males from a priest's family may eat of this offering, for it is most holy. If, however, the blood of a sin offering has been taken into the tabernacle to make atonement in the holy place for the people's sins, none of that animal's meat may be eaten. It must be completely burned up."
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 6 of Leviticus, and now some commentary.
6 verse 9 through 7 verse 38. These specific instructions for the priests supplement what has previously been mentioned, stated about the various offerings. Chapter 6 verse 9, quote, "Command Aaron and his sons, saying," unquote. This strong imperative, command, means that an immediate response is expected. Aaron and his sons are required to begin this practice and to continue it. Quote, "law," unquote, Hebrew Torah, denotes instruction. The English word for that is, quote, "law," unquote. It is based in part upon the Latin Vulgate version of the Bible, which translated Torah by the Latin meaning law. It is best, however, to see Torah as referring to a general body of instructions. Chapter 6, verse 16. The Hebrew, quote, "tent of meeting," unquote, is also in 6, verse 26 and verse 30. 6, verse 20. Hebrew, quote, "one-tenth of an ephah," unquote, amounts to about 2 liters.
Okay, now the law, or the Torah, is the first 5 books of the Bible. I've got 2 more chapters to finish the 3rd book of Moses, which is the 3rd book of the law. And then I've got 2 other books to do, which is Numbers and Deuteronomy. And then we'll be done with the first 5 books of Moses, what the Jews call the Torah. And most Jews only live by those 5 books. They don't honor the rest of the prophets. Some Jews do, but a lot of them don't. They just live by those first 5 books of the law. So we'll be through the first 5 books very soon. We'll be doing chapter 7 of Leviticus this evening, God willing. And until then, just keep remembering all these things and don't forget who your enemy is. Our enemy is the devil, amen? And all those that are led by the devil, all those that are here in this world to destroy the word of the people of God, those who carry his word and that are banning his word. And it's coming, the Bible, God said, it's coming from Rome. And Rome is raising up all different governments and all kinds of different religions. We have pictures of the Pope worshiping it in witchcraft. Covens, he was seen worshiping with the Hare Krishnas, which is another cult. He worships with witch doctors. If you ever went to a meeting of the United Council of Churches, you'll see Merlins there with long chains hanging off of their neck with moons and cats and all kinds of weird stars and weird witchcraft emblems. And you'll see these long pointed hats with moons on them and everything like that. And just like dozens or hundreds of bottles, empty bottles, booze bottles, where there's drunkenness and there's fornication all over. It's like a cesspool of corruption. So keep thinking, you know, we have to keep ourselves separate and holy and perfect. So keep these things in mind. Keep the word of the Lord on your mind. Don't be thinking of all these corrupt things. It's not good to even think about them, but it's good to know them, that they exist in the world. Otherwise, we wouldn't know what to keep ourselves separate from. Amen?
Amen.
So we'll be doing chapter 7. Until then, just keep looking up. Keep thinking, meditating on the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.